Thinking about if you have family coming over, did you make enough cookies for everybody? You might be wondering, are you going to get that little gadget or that particular thing that you're hoping for? Maybe with some people, they're wondering if they can return the sweater that they're going to get. Or did they save the receipt? You know, there's a lot of stuff. And those questions I think we can easily answer. But the truth is, at Christmas time, there's a lot of questions that you and I are going to have to deal with. We deal with them all the time, but sometimes they get magnified at Christmas. It can be kind of a lonely time. It can be a difficult time. And it's not always really easy. I do think that Joseph and Mary, the family together, really are an example to us, an encouragement to us. Because they must have been searching and wondering how all this was going to work out. And how the plans were going to fall into place, because their plans weren't. Their whole world got turned upside down. And I think it's very important for us to note that, you know, the unplanned things, and particularly the unplanned detours and things that we face in our lives, for those of us that are Christians following, who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you that they are planned by God. They are planned by God. And this is difficult for us to understand. I really pray that what I want to share with you, it spoke to me, and I was just thinking about this. You know, there's a proverb that I put in the outline. It's one of the second ones down there. And I'll read it to you, of course. It says, "We make our plans, but the Lord gives the right answer." You know, I think when you think about Joseph's story and what we just read, that's really another way of saying that, you know, when your plans, the things you hope for, are detoured or redirected, you're really finding out who's charting the course for you. And many people nowadays create life plans. Have you done this? Have you know anybody that does? I know in the work that we did, especially in translation work and stuff, we actually seriously did this, and we actually had a firm that worked with us at one point, and people will do this. And they have life gurus, life masters, there's life senseis, and they'll actually set up a grandiose, you can develop a mission statement. I don't know if anybody's done that. And you actually develop a mission statement for yourself. And you have 1-year goals, 5-year goals, 10-year goals, specific areas of your life that you want to focus on and you want to develop consciously with help from your coach, from your sensei. Oh, yeah. This is big, and a lot of very successful people and professional people, this is a huge important to target the trajectory of their lives. And you know, the thing is whether or not you've gotten to this real formal setting and you've done this for the sake of career or life or whatever it is, everybody's done it. Everybody here has written a life plan in some way, shape, or form. You've imagined the future. You've imagined what that future is going to look like. You've thought about it. You have this idea in your mind of how your career is going to develop, how your kids are going to develop, how I'm going to retire, what I need to retire. Everybody here has this idea in their mind. You may not have formally stated it, but it's there. And there are times when God messes up those plans. There are times when they do not fall in place, and what I want to share with you is that is a really good thing. That is a really good thing. Now, don't get me wrong, planning is important. We need to plan. It's hugely important. Without plans, you end up with all sorts of problems, like binge-watching all of your TV programs that you like on Netflix. It is important to plan. So you want to make sure that that is in place, but the reality is many times God will intentionally mess up my life plan. And that is a really good thing. I could imagine Joseph was just trying to recover from the announcement that he received from Mary. When he hears another announcement that hits him, that he has to go to take the census and be part of that. And I could imagine him being a little bit annoyed and a little bit upset, because you have this arrogant, vain emperor who is a world away ordering people to their ancestral cities. And him as a descendant of David, this means that he has to walk a royal 100-mile walk to a place that, you know, he doesn't want to. He's setting up his business. He's looking at getting a family started. They don't have very much money. And the reason why you know this is because when they gave the offering for Jesus, when he was a little baby, they gave 2 turtle doves. That's the lowest you can give and still have a legitimate, real offering to God. They are poor. And now he has to make a journey. They don't have resources. His wife is late in her pregnancy. This is not an easy time for them. And I can almost imagine them thinking, you know, surely when the Messiah comes, he's going to deliver us from all this ridiculousness and all this oppression that we are dealing with. And what if one of their friends, who didn't know all this that was happening at this time, they hadn't heard the story, they hadn't really talked to Mary, Mary hadn't shared, Joseph hadn't shared the dream, came up to them and go, hey, by the way, when you get to Bethlehem, maybe you'll see the Messiah. Because after all, it says in the Scriptures, behold, you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are too little among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be the ruler of Israel, who is coming forth from of old, from of ancient of days. And I imagine it would be like a 2x4 over the head, that he would have this moment of focus, and he would pause, and he would listen, he would look, he would think about what God was doing. It's not really about him, it's bigger than that. And that God has everything planned out, and God has everything charted for them. And it's very possible after that incredible birth in Bethlehem that he could have wanted to set up shop there. I could totally understand that. You're in this place, can't afford the journey back home. And surely this is what the prophet meant, right? They'll come out of Bethlehem. So I'm going to set up shop here, get everything going. And just as they get started and just as everything gets going, the angel comes again with a dream. And these Persian kings show up with gifts. And the angel says, you got to go. Can't stay here. You got to go to Egypt because there's going to be an assassination attempt on the little baby. Egypt? What? Another 100-mile walk through mostly desert? You know, and I could imagine you'd have a maybe a little bit of anger, you know, a little bit of just upsetness here at this, you know, king of what was going to happen. But then quickly remembering, if Caesar Augustus was God's tool, what is Herod? You know, and it's, as a point of application, let's stop and think. You think about the times in your life that God got you through something. The Augustus events. And then all the other ones that come up. You see how God works. He works differently. Bigger. Grander. And yes, you go to Egypt. And when you're in Egypt, now you're in a foreign land. And it's difficult to live. How am I going to survive? How are things going to work out? And then, but God wonderfully provides all along the way. You see, this is the method of operation. This is how the Lord works in His people. He develops faith and trust. We are saved by grace through faith. And then months later, we have another instance where a dream again, and it happens that says, well, that Herod is dead. Now you got to come back. But you can't go to Bethlehem because his son Archelaus is a chip off the old evil bad block as Herod. And if he gets wind of it, there'll be another assassination attempt. So you're off to Nazareth. You know, Joseph and Mary and Jesus' beginning years were anything but tranquil. They were filled with grueling travel, the hardest part of pregnancy, a birth that was in a barn that was just was ritually unclean, unclean in every way. There's no steady income. You got these desert crossings. You're living in a foreign country. You're waiting on God for guidance, provision. And just in the nick of time it comes. It's difficult. It's expensive. It's time consuming. It's annoying. The unplanned, inefficient detours of our lives are planned by God. They are common for disciples. And they commonly don't make sense to us. But God's ways are not our ways. That's not how He works. That's not how He works. He has made a commitment to you, and He cares for us, and He watches over us. And imagine Joseph, you know, is any place he would rather have been than in that cave or in that stable where that baby was born. And it's likely they didn't grasp much of any of this, as it's all happening, it's all transpiring, and it's just, you know, over their heads. And there's battle to fear and wrestle with shame. And all he could have done is just trust God. Just believe that God's got this. He will provide and He will continue to provide. And I think that's a good Christmas word for us. That's a good encouraging word for us. There are times God is seeking that we follow and that we trust in. And that is gold. That is awesome. That's what He's looking for. The Father, our Heavenly Father, has purposed hardships and difficulties for us in our lives. And you know, in the place of desperation, when you need it most, what we don't need often is less turmoil. We need more faith. We need to see the loving Father for who He is, watching over us, and His sure and rock-solid commitment to His promises and to us. And God gently corrected Joseph and gave him guidance when he needed it, as he needed it. And the Lord is telling us that we must learn to trust Him. We must learn to trust Him. He's telling us something. You know, He's giving us these moments, and it's just this. Will we let Him change us? Will we let Him shape us? To form us? You know, I come to Jesus, I connect with Jesus, put my faith in Christ. Do you think it's possible that God has some things, He knows some things about your life that you don't? If you say yes to that, that's called humility. When you admit, yes, there are some things God knows that I don't know about my life, then it's time to make some real application to our lives. And I put some notes at the end that you can think about, some fuel for thought that can be in your mind. And I would ask you, for myself too, I'm doing this, I'm going to do this, because it is so helpful to be intentional, to pause, look, listen. God seeks to get our attention. And we don't need to hear an angel speak to us. We can have God speak to us anytime. I've never had an angel speak to me, but God speaks to me all the time. I can listen to Him, and He can bless me, and He can encourage me and help me. And when we listen to our favorite carols, we're going to be singing carols and on our Sunday services and on Wednesday, and as we sing them, just put yourself in their shoes. Walk in their shoes. And imagine just if you were living out that story. God has a plan that's so different than their plan. God has a plan that's so different than your plan. And when life goes off script, it's an opportunity for us just to hold on in faith and realize that His commitment to us is that great. That's powerful. Oh my goodness. You know, in some ways I think Joseph had a dream. God gave him a dream. And I don't think he ever woke up from it. I think he just lived out his life, living out the dream that God had for him. And I think we do this by faith. And may God bless us and just open our eyes to see how great His care is for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.